Verse 23. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all of that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David said, your servant said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your Holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. Father, we ask you today as we study through this passage, Lord, that you would grant us the wisdom and knowledge to take this word and apply it to our own lives today. Lord, it's through your wonderful Son and because of him that we can do this, and we pray this prayer in his name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the big question today is what is boldness? I think for a long time, I thought what boldness was extroversion, being an extrovert. What an extrovert is someone that is very outgoing. They can basically talk to anybody at any time. Their emotions are right there out front. And they're often pretty charismatic people. They have a lot of friends. And they feed off of always being around other people. An introvert, on the other hand, is someone that actually regains strength and rest from being by themselves, being in a quiet place. It's not that they can't interact well with others, but they gain their rest and their peace from generally being alone or with one or two other people. Me personally, I am an introvert. And so I thought for a long time that boldness was just not something that I was able to do. But then I began to study this passage and I looked back on my own life and I looked at the definition of what boldness was, and I realized that boldness is something different than extroversion. Boldness is highly situational. It's surprising, but it is highly situational. A lot of it is based on what we believe about ourselves in a given situation, about our given ability in a situation, or our knowledge about a situation. For example, if you took me to a Christian private school and you sat me down in a Bible class, because of the training I've had, the knowledge I've gained, I would feel very confident in raising my hand, answering questions, adding to the class what the teacher said. But if you took me across the hall to a high school math class right now, I would be completely lost. I would sit in the back of the class quiet and just hope that I wasn't ever asked a question. You see, my ability to interact in that classroom is completely based on what I believe about myself and what I know where my strengths are. Another example of this is, you know, I grew up on a farm in North Carolina, a blueberry farm. My parents own it and run it, and I grew up there. And when I was on that farm, I actually had a lot of responsibility even as a 15 or 16-year-old, and I thought I was the man. I was riding around in my truck. You know, I had all the other guys there, and we were friends, and my parents owned the place. I was kind of in charge, and man, I thought I was the man. So if somebody came out there and had an issue, I had no problem talking to them, explaining the issue, being right there, outgoing towards them. And then the few times maybe a young lady would show up around the farm, I had no problem going up and talking to her and kind of flirting with her, if you will. But if I was at school, I was a nobody at school. I didn't play sports. I was smart, but I didn't really do great on my grades. I didn't have many friends, just a few good ones. So I wasn't very much to talk about at school. And at school, I never talked to a girl. No way. I was too scared to do that. But it's all about what I believed about myself and in my situation. That alone constituted what boldness I would have. And we go into this passage, and when we're going to study this passage, we're going to talk about having Great Commission boldness. Great Commission boldness, that's boldness to share the gospel, that's boldness to disciple others, and that boldness has an extra added factor. It doesn't only have to do with what we believe about God and ourselves, though it does, and that's what we'll study, but it also is something that is Holy Spirit empowered. You see, in our country, in SBC life, it's a true fact that the gospel really isn't being shared. In fact, they've done studies that most believers will go all their lives and they will never share the gospel with anybody, except maybe their kids. And or their spouse, depending on their situation. And so you've heard it said before. You've heard it said, oh man, if you really love Jesus, you'd be out there sharing the gospel. So you must not love Jesus, or you might not even really be a believer. But I think that those things could be true, but I think that there's something else here. I don't think it's always a lack of love for Jesus, but I think it comes a lot out of fear. Fear of what others are going to think about us. Fear of potentially losing our jobs, losing friends, even losing family. Because we understand as believers that when we bring the gospel to somebody, what we're in effect saying is because you haven't believed in Jesus, because you haven't done what I've done, and that's believe in Jesus, then you cannot have eternal life. You can't be in relationship with God. You can't go to heaven. And that's something that's scary to bring to other people. Because if they ever really truly understand what we're saying, they very well may be unhappy with us. They very well may be angry with us. But it's something at the end of the day that we're called to do it, and we have to do. So how do we have the boldness to bring the gospel to others? Because we can't have this lighthouse mentality. We often think, and it's easy to say, we're called to be a light on be a light to others, but in our minds that's standing away from them. They're going to see me and they're going to come. Build it and they will come mentality. I'll tell you, that doesn't often work. It does sometimes, but not often. In fact, we need to be a light in people's homes. We need to be salt and light, as Jesus said, in people's lives. As it is to a candle in their house or food on their table, we need to be that engaged and that involved with others in order to reach them well. The Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20 tells us that he says, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he says he'll be with us in all of that, even to the end of the age. That's our command, and that's all of our command. So let's look at our main point real quick before we dive into the text. By having confidence in God's rule and plan and reliance on the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we can have boldness to truly fulfill our calling and mission, even in the face of fear and uncertainty. As we look at this passage, we are going to look at Peter and John. Peter and John. What had happened to them were they were out, they were preaching in Jerusalem, they were sharing the gospel with others, and through the power of Christ, a man that had been lame for 40 years had been healed, and the rulers in Israel were angry with them. They were angry with them for speaking the name of Jesus. And you remember, these are the same guys that had just killed Jesus not long before. We're in Acts 4. We're not far from Jesus's ascension. And so they are brought to prison, they are brought to jail, but they're brought before the Sanhedrin, but they really can't find anything to arrest them on, no firm charges. Also, the people are really happy. They're praising God that this man has been healed. And so they let them go, but they don't let them go without threatening them. And we have to look at that and say, these guys were afraid of these threats, and I would have been too. These are the same guys that just killed their master, the guy that they walked with, and now they're walking around speaking the name of Jesus, and these, the rulers in Israel, don't like them at all. This is what's going on here. And so they come back to the church, and they're going to get in prayer with the rest of the church there in Jerusalem. And we're going to learn lessons from that. Lessons on how we can also have Great Commission boldness. And I know what you're saying. I know you're saying, well, Chris, if it comes to losing my job, if it comes to losing my friends or my family, I just don't know that I can do that. I don't know that I can do that. I don't know if it's worth it. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57. I'll read it for you. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying, as it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're putting the brakes on in our hearts and our minds about this issue, and we're saying, is it worth it? This passage tells us that it absolutely is. Because in Christ's victory, he swallowed up even death. Death is no longer something that's going to affect us negatively. In fact, it affects us positively, because when we die, we get to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we die, one day we'll be raised again in perfect bodies. This sinful life here, these terrible circumstances that we deal with, one day in the new heavens and the new earth, those things will be swallowed up in the victory of Jesus. They won't matter so much anymore, because our joy will be in Christ and Christ alone. And so we have to look at that as our hope when we are putting the brakes on. Because as we go through this, as we really come to grips with bringing the gospel to other people, it's going to be hard. It's hard for me, and I have struggled through this passage this week, the week before, to really become bold as God would want me to become bold. So let's dive in. Let's go to our five points on the next slide. Okay, the first point that we should learn from this is that we must realize that God is ruler over all. When the church comes, the first thing that they do is they begin with prayer. They begin with their relationship to God, the Almighty One. They realize and recognize and proclaim here in verse 24 that it is God who has made everything and is in control of everything. Without this fundamental point, then we will never be able to have boldness for the gospel that we need. We need to always be reminding ourselves of this, reminding ourselves of 1 Corinthians 15 that we just looked at, that Christ is victor over all, and he's ruler over all. And so as we go, we have to remember that while we face people as they did, these rulers of the Sanhedrin, they were in charge of something. They were in charge of the people of Israel, and they did have the authority and possibly the ability to have them killed. But at the end of the day, they knew who they served was the one who had ultimate authority, the authority to raise them from the dead, to defeat death. That's the same thing we have to realize. We don't face death, ideally, hopefully. We definitely don't right now. But we have to recognize this, even if we're sharing the gospel with a coworker, and we're scared that coworker is going to go say, hey, Chris is sharing the gospel at Lowe's in Bedford. Man, you need to do something about that. We have to do that. We have to do that even if we risk losing our friends. We can realize that the one that has called us to do those things is ruler over everything. And that gives us strength. It should give us strength, give us comfort, give us hope that our Father, our Heavenly Father, is ruler over every single thing that's ever existed or ever will exist. Point two, we must realize that just as Jesus suffered, we may suffer also, but God has a plan and purpose in all of it. They go on in their prayer here after they exalt God as ruler over all, and they begin to speak of the plan that God had in bringing Christ. They say that the Gentiles raised, the people devised futile things, everybody rose up against God and the Messiah. And then they say that it was in this city that everyone gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Jesus faced death, but it wasn't something that happened by accident. You see, that was God's plan, for Jesus to face death for all of us. They realized that because Jesus suffered, because we are in Christ's family, that we may also suffer. That doesn't mean that God wants us to suffer. It just means that there's a reality in which we may suffer. We have to take this passage, and we have to realize that, yes, it was God's plan for Jesus to come and die, but he didn't force the rulers of Israel or Pontius Pilate to do what they did. They chose to do what they did. That's what we have to realize, first of all. And so, God doesn't want us to suffer, but we may suffer. Hebrews 13:13 is speaking of bearing the reproach of Christ, and it says, let us go outside the camp with him, bearing his reproach. That refers to a multitude of things. That refers to Jesus being killed outside the gates. It looks back to the Old Testament, to the sacrificial system. And it says that when they would slaughter a sheep or a goat, they would take it outside of the camp of people, and they would sacrifice that for the sins of the people. And it's relating to Jesus here. But what it's saying in effect is that Jesus bore reproach for all of us. Reproach of the people, the reproach of sin, our sin laid on him. And because we are one with him, we are in his family, we may also suffer. And that's okay. It is not okay, but it is okay. Because God has a perfect plan in all of it. I've been realizing more and more throughout my life that God really does bring good even out of the worst circumstances. He brings good out of the worst circumstances. I know for me, my grandfather, he was like a father to me. He raised me for the majority of my life, and when he passed away, man, I was crushed. That's one of the worst things that ever happened to me, was his death. But after he died, some things happened. Well, I was living with him at the time, so I was forced to move on to campus at seminary. When I moved on to campus at seminary, I made some really wonderful friends there. And out of that friend group, I met my wife. And because I met her, I heard about the need here in New England for the gospel. And so God used that to call me here to plant a church. And ultimately, he brought a lot of good out of it that wouldn't have happened otherwise. God really does work things together for good, as Romans 8:28 says, for those who are called according to his purpose, for his will, and according to his will. And we must realize that even in the midst of our suffering. Moving on, point three. We must realize that the reason we go with boldness is for the glory of Christ. It says here that they asked the Lord here to take note of their threats, to grant them boldness to speak the gospel while God extends his hand to heal, do great and mighty wonders, to save people. This is God's action ultimately that we are taking part in. They ask God here, and this is important, this word take note, or it might be to look at in your Bible, is used one other time. It's used in Luke 1:25 when Elizabeth finds out that she is pregnant with John the Baptist. She says, God has looked at me and taken away my reproach, because remember, she was barren before this. He has looked and acted. So it's not take note as we think of take note, where we're just sitting there and we see it, we recognize it, we write it down, and then we probably don't do anything about it. We're just aware of it. They are asking God in prayer to look at this thing and act upon it. And the action they are calling God to do is to give them boldness so that they can bring Christ more glory. That's what all of this is about. It's not about us. It's not about our ability or lack of ability, perceived or not perceived. It's not about who we are or our glory or what we can do to save people. It's about Jesus and what Jesus can do to save people. God's going to look on this thing, going to act on it, and grant them boldness. That's what they pray for in relationship to their Heavenly Father, that he would see their threats. And keep in mind, they don't say, God, take them out. Lord, take them out. Just get them out of our way. Deal with it that way. They say, give us more boldness to keep going forward. To keep going forward. They pray that God will not only see, but that he will act on what they've done. Very rarely do we pray without asking God to act. When we pray because someone is sick, what do we say? We say, God, we want you to heal that person. We need healing for them. We say, Father, we want them to get better. Give the doctors the wisdom. Do what you have to do to make this right. But I found in my own life that when I drop the ball on somebody that I probably should have shared the gospel with, I had the opportunity and I dropped the ball. You know what I pray? Lord, I messed up. You know what? I bombed that. I'm sorry, God. And that's kind of it. I bombed, you know. That's not what we should do in that circumstance. We need to look to the early church here and say, take a look at this God and act upon it. Give me more boldness to do what you have called me to do. Because ultimately, we really have no other choice and feel good about it as Christians. If we move forward to point four, it says, we must realize that we are bound in our service to Jesus Christ, that we are his bondservants, the text says, that we are literally, what it means is we are slaves to Christ. We have no other real choice other than following Christ and feel good about it. Of course, you can choose not to follow Christ. You can. This sort of bond servanthood, the Christian servanthood to Christ, is something that we desire, something we want, something we look at and say, I can do no other because I am called to this. I can do no other because I am called to this work. And we're all called to share the gospel with others, to disciple others, to go forward. And we should feel the same way, that we can really, at the end of the day, do nothing other and be happy about it because we are servants of Jesus. And we like it that way. And we like it that way. We have to realize that. It should give us freedom, ultimately. Because at the end of the day, what that says and what that means is we are not going out and speaking for ourselves, but we are going out carrying the word of God, speaking for God, the ruler over all, the one that is in charge of everything, Jesus Christ. We are speaking for him and not for ourselves. Point five. We must realize to go with boldness, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And I want to add to that because I didn't earlier. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, and that only comes through relationship with God. You see, there in prayer, and prayer is the ultimate showing that we have a relationship with God. We don't need anybody else to pray for us. We can come directly to our Heavenly Father and pray to him, and it shows that we have a one-on-one personal connection and relationship with God. That's why they pray, and that's why we should pray. And we have to realize that to go with boldness, we need that relationship to be strengthened. I want you to realize that this is nothing to do with experience. God doesn't really care so much about experience. He cares about your character. He cares about who you are. And he cares about what he's called you to do. He'll handle the experience. He will handle going forward in front of you. He will handle it by his Holy Spirit, bringing people to Christ. This is about your character, your relationship with him. The more we build that relationship in prayer, the more bold that we are going to be when we are going forward. We need the Holy Spirit, and we should pray for that. So I want to bring you a story real quick. And I will not use his real name. I will call him Joe. All right? Just because maybe being recorded. But if not, then that's okay. When my wife and I were on a mission trip in Turkey, what we were doing was we were working with Iranians. We were partnering with Iranian Christians that had been driven out of their country, and we were speaking with Iranians that were coming to Turkey on holiday to to have fun, to shop. And so we were partnered, my wife and I were partnered with Joe. Joe loved Jesus. There is no doubt about that. Joe had been persecuted in his own country. He had had to leave everything he had ever known because of the name of Jesus. He was in Turkey, and in Turkey, they accept refugees, but in Turkey, refugees aren't actually allowed to work. So to make any sort of money, they had to do little odd jobs here and there. And for any of you that have ever been teenagers and mowed a lawn or two, or taught somebody piano lessons or guitar lessons or whatever it may be, you know that even if it doesn't often pay well, but even if it does, it's sporadic. It's not steady work. And that's okay if you're a teenager in the USA and your parents take care of you and you just need a little extra money for gas to go out on the weekend. But that's not okay for these people. And the reason they were in it is because they love Jesus. Joe loved Jesus. But Joe had a problem with boldness. As we were out on the field, every day we would come back and people would have these amazing stories of sharing the gospel with other people. And we didn't know why we weren't having those stories. Because, see, we would go out with Joe, and he was there to identify the Iranians. Because he knew what they looked like, and he knew how they dressed and how they acted, how they carried themselves. And we couldn't tell that. Because we weren't Iranian, we weren't Turkish, we had no idea. We were there to initiate conversation, then let him share the gospel, and we would be there in case the cops showed up, then Joe could disappear, and we'd step up, and we'd be like, hey, and they'd be like, what are you doing? And we'd be like, oh, we're Americans, we're just talking to people, this and that and the other. And they couldn't read what our material we had because it was in Farsi and they were Turkish. And also we were Americans and so we were spending money and they kind of like us for that reason. And so they just let us go. They'd be like, okay. But it wouldn't have been the same for Joe. He would have wound up in jail. So that's why we were there. We were doing what we were doing. But as the days carried on, we realized that we were never sharing with anybody. And I began to be able to pick out these Iranians as we went along. Iranians, when they come out of their country, the women often take off their headdress that they have to wear in Iran. They'll put on colorful clothing. The guys normally have kind of gelled up hair. That's kind of their style. It's not what you think or see on the news media, but that's just the reality of most Iranians. And so I was seeing these people. I was like, man, we're just passing by them. In that instance, I didn't have any trouble with boldness because I knew I was never going to get in trouble. Those people weren't my friends or family. They didn't have any effect on my real life back here. But to Joe, it was risking everything again. And he struggled with that. But that being said, we saw Joe through prayer, through coming alongside other people, other Iranians that were helping him. We saw him actually be able to go forward, to have more boldness. It was something Joe struggled with, but it's not because he didn't love Jesus. It's not. Joe had to come alongside his Iranian brothers and sisters and realize these things and be in deep prayer. There's a reason that this is done in community. There's a reason Peter and John were out together, and that's because sometimes we just need community. But that's a little bit beside our point. I want you to be encouraged by that. I want you to be thinking about that. That this guy that had already sacrificed so much, he was still, he struggled. And that's okay. Because Job was praying for boldness because he loved Jesus. Job wanted to go out and go forward. And we actually saw some improvement on Job's part between the first day we were there and the last day we were there. I know he loves Jesus and I know he cares, but because of his situation, he struggled with boldness. And we may do that too, but we have to remember these things about who God is and who we are in Christ. We're his children. Our ultimate reality, our ultimate life is not here and now, but it's going to be in the new heavens, the new earth. And we need to come at it with that mindset. That we are going to go forward with boldness because no matter what happens here, we have an all-powerful God that loves us, that cares for us, and that is going to give us the boldness, give us the strength if we ask for it. Because that's what he's called us to do. It's not an easy thing, the Christian life. Jesus never said it would be easy. But it's worth it. And I want you to know, if you're sitting in here and you're not a believer yet, I've talked a lot to believers today. But all of these things, this ultimate hope, this ultimate life beyond what we're in right now, the relationship with a holy and almighty God can be yours, and it's just as simple as turning from your sin, believing on Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. And it's what we bring out to others, Christians. And it's just as simple as that. So let us pray as we go that we would pray for Great Commission boldness in whatever we do.